country. It is my greatest honor and privilege to have been your president. I will always fight for you. I will be watching, I will be listening.
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Matt coming to you once again from the office of the Run the Newspaper. Before we get started tonight, thank you, everyone who responded so incredibly quickly and generously to our 50-50 pre-Christmas 50-50 match fund. I was just amazed and overwhelmed. We got the letters, the emails, texts. I mean, it was incredible. And thank you for all, not only for jumping in on that fundraiser, but just for all the words of encouragement. It's been a tough year for everybody, including us. And to hear from so many hundreds, maybe thousands of you, it was a lot, was really a shot in the arm for us. And I'm happy to announce that fund is closed. We reached our goal here at The Remnant. We like to close our funds, not just run them indefinitely. So it is closed. We reached the mark, and we've got some really exciting news about what we're going to do with that money in the new print edition of The Remnant, which is going on the press
today.
Okay, this afternoon or tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. It'll be available at remnantnewspaper.com, so check that out. So I'm not putting off what we need to talk about. This is a big day. This is Inauguration Day. Very happy for Mr. Biden and what's her name, Cammie? President Cammie. Yeah. But you know what? Here's the thing, friends. And I hope you're going to stick with me tonight because this has been a long time coming. And maybe I'll ramble a little bit, but I'm going to try to convey some ideas that are a little bit probably not what you expect. Now, if you're on the floor right now in the fetal position trying to find out how many veins you should open or which bridge to jump off, I want you to stand up, and you need to help me stand up. We all need to get ready here because this has been tough, been a long time. But I would remind you of one thing. People like what we do in our business for a year now, we've been talking about if Trump loses, man, all hell's going to break loose, right? Because we believe it's going to be tough, right? But we use rhetoric. All of us do this. We use rhetoric to really add some urgency to why we needed to vote properly. We needed to vote for Trump. We're not prophets. We don't know how this is going to unfold. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Even though we were using that rhetoric, though it's the end of the world as we know it and everything else, God's still in charge here, and there are many very positive things to take away from what's happened over the past 4 years. And I'll just tease you by saying it might be in God's providence that Donald Trump was a one-termer. What do I mean by that? You're going to find out soon. But let me just tease it by saying we have never seen an unleashed president of the United States, because I guarantee you that 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years from now, Donald J. Trump is not going to be posing for pictures with George W. Bush and Barack Obama. I promise you that. This guy is going to be something different. So he was an extraordinary maverick as a president, and I have a feeling he's going to be an extraordinary maverick as an activist, as an ex-president, and as the leader of this populist movement. So let's try to stay focused, stay grounded. Trump left office today. And by the way, I'm not sure everybody was too thrilled with what was going on since November 3rd. I think there were people that were setting Donald Trump up. You may notice I never mentioned the words Sidney Powell once. I never mentioned QAnon once. Because I don't know who's setting up whom anymore. I really don't. And I think there could be some questions about how things were handled after November 4th, what sort of pressure was being put on Donald Trump? I don't know. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But all I'm saying is that Donald Trump now at this point has shown, and we all saw the speech last night, the speech this morning when he left the White House, he has shown, he has demonstrated, he has made us proud for why we voted for him. He showed the dignity and the honor of a statesman. What is a statesman? According to the classical Greek understanding, a statesman is a man who cares more for the state, more for you and me, than he does for himself, more for his state than he does for himself. And this is what Donald Trump has done from the beginning, as we've said so many times. He didn't need to do this. He had tons and tons of wealth and opportunity. Didn't need to do this. He did this out of love for the state. And now he's leaving with the dignity and honor of a General Douglas MacArthur leaving the Philippines. He even today included his own version of MacArthur's famous, "I shall return."
A goodbye. We love you. We will be back in some form.
And then there was First Lady Melania Trump. We're going to miss her. We're going to miss this woman. And she demonstrated, in my opinion today, Audrey Hepburn class and style as she said goodbye to us. Check this out.
Being your first lady was my greatest honor. Thank you for your love and your support. You will be in my thoughts and prayers. God bless you all. God bless your families. And God bless this beautiful nation. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. What America? America, what have we done? You know? Lots of luck filling those shoes, Grandma Biden. What's her name? Dr. Biden.
Oh,
Cindy, Rita, whatever she is, whoever she is. Lots of luck filling those shoes. But there you have it, friends. That's it. He's gone. You know, and it's the end of the world as we know it. But guess what? I sort of feel fine. I sort of have a little sense of relief. I am tired of the game. I'm tired of our lives being dominated by Washington, D.C. politics. Sick and tired of it, you know? And I'm probably among the very few conservative commentators in America today, in fact, who see victory in all of this. Don't let that shock you. I'm going to explain what I mean. It's not Pollyanna. It's not cavalier. It's not making the best of a bad situation. I actually see victory here. And here's why. Before I even say that, I realize that a lot of you, including some of my very close friends and family members, pretty upset right now. And I get that. You know, you're unsure, even a bit terrified, perhaps, over what's going to happen. And I would just say that's exactly what they want. That's how they want us to feel. This is theater. We'll get into this in a moment. They want us to feel this way. Because you know what? In many ways, we are the extras in a big, giant, impressive Hollywood blockbuster movie. You know? They're playing us. They're using media like media has never been used before on people. You see? You know, this is political theater designed to make us all feel absolutely helpless and to make our cause seem hopeless, quite frankly. But here's the thing, friends. We're not helpless, and the cause is not hopeless. Far from it. And I'm going to cut right to the chase now. Donald J. Trump has helped clarify and expose an enemy that I, as a traditional Catholic, have spent my entire life pushing against, my entire life fighting against, and my father before me, and my grandfather before him, and his father before him, fighting against this enemy that Trump just exposed, friends. Do not lose sight of this. Because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it matters now. The game is over, okay? This whole thing, see, it's not about partisan American politics. And for us, it never was. You see, that's what they never got, the folks on the left. They thought we were talking about Democrat versus Republican versus independent libertarian politics. My goodness, friends, we gave up on that a long time ago. I stopped following the GOP a long time ago. I think I voted for George W. Bush. He was a maniac, and he still is. Mitt Romney, McCain, all these people. Are you teasing me? You think it was about them? Mitch McConnell is one of them. Aren't we proud of that son of a gun right now? You see, Trump was not one of them. Trump forced the real enemy, and by that I mean the Christophobic globalists, who right now are partnering with the Antichrist, with the devil himself, as far as I'm concerned, Trump forced them out of the closet. And for that, I will be forever grateful to this man, who certainly is not a traditional guy. You think I lost today? You think this man, who was twice divorced, married three times, and disagrees with me on just about everything in terms of theology, or he just doesn't know anything about it, you think I'd look at this as a personal loss? Do you think I was asking Donald Trump to lead me in a crusade, in a holy war to save me or save the Catholic? Not quite. That's not what it was about. That's never what it was about. You see, but right now, Donald Trump has set up a coalition, and that coalition is standing against the very folks that we were opposed to, that we fought against for all these years. And this coalition now spans the gamut. From conservative patriots to pro-lifers to homeschoolers to traditional Catholics to evangelical Protestants. It's a huge group, thanks to the Trump phenomenon. We're together. Talk about uniting the Klans. Holy mackerel, have the Klans been united over the past 4 years.
I would only encourage you to continue to pray for Donald Trump, to continue to recognize the fact that if, in fact, he leaves the Oval Office, he will walk out and he will join us again, and he will be the leader of the most powerful populist movement in the history of this country.
And whether everybody in this coalition realizes it or not, and Donald Trump certainly did not realize it, at least not early on, I'm not so sure. I think he's come a long way toward the cross over the past couple of years because of the demons that he's been up against. But all of these people, whether they know it or not, in this coalition are warring against the enemies of the Church of Jesus Christ. And those enemies are the New World Order gang, the One World Religion, the United Nations, the infernal World Economic Forum, and Klaus Schwab and Soros and all the rest of these characters. You see, that's who the 75, 80 million patriots are standing against right now. The same people we've been standing against for 50 years as traditional Catholics. You know? And against that particular mortal enemy of God and man, we just won, friends. Over the past 4 years, we have scored a victory so significant that we outed them, that we forced them to jump the shark, that we forced them to expose their evil, rotten agenda from Bill Gates to Schwab to the UN to Pope Francis. They're all out of the closet now, thanks to Donald Trump and thanks to us for gathering together, for supporting Donald Trump, for doing the right thing, even though he wasn't technically one of us, obviously. So let me repeat that, friends, on this seemingly dark day. History's going to show a different side of this. The good guys, the children of light, they just won a round. They didn't lose. Look at D.C. if you want some proof right now. Look at the, maybe Walter can throw something up on the screen, showing the graphics of what's going on, but we all know what's going on. Look at the razor wire. Look at the over-the-top intimidation tactics. The guard, troops with orders to shoot and kill. This is grand political theater. Since when does crowd control involve orders to shoot to kill? Okay? You see, and this gives us the proof that we're looking for, that the left are terrified. The left fear us because in many ways, they know us better than we know ourselves. We're sort of a ragtag bunch that threw ourselves together over the past 4 years. We're not really, some of us are not really sure what the whole thing is all about, but they know what it's all about. You know, they know that we fight. Now, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano speaks of the children of light. And if we have the right stuff, we count ourselves among that company of the children of light. And the folks on the left, the enemy, they know that the children of light fight for the stuff that builds civilizations. You know, God, country, family, patriotism, honor, life itself, the stuff that makes us human, friends, the stuff for which men and women for thousands of years have been living and dying. That is what we fight for. That is what animates us. That is what this whole thing was all about. Not partisan American politics. Not so. We fought for the stuff that makes men into children of God. The stuff that transformed a businessman from Manhattan into the most powerful president this nation has ever seen. A president who stood not only for life, not only for us, but for Christ himself, for the incarnation of Jesus Christ. All my life, I was waiting for one of the good presidents, the pro-life Republican presidents, to just one time mention his name. Just once. Donald Trump did it many times. And he referred to it as the incarnation of Jesus Christ. You remember.
Above all, during the sacred season, our souls are full of thanks and praise for Almighty God for sending us Christ, his Son, to redeem the world.
Man, we are going to miss that. You think Joe Biden can fill those shoes? You think Joe the Catholic Biden will ever say anything like that? Even the pathetic American bishops now are speaking out against this guy, Joe Biden, the Catholic. It's not going to be smooth sailing for him. But there's Trump, the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You remember this guy back in 2016? The celebrity apprentice guy? Are you teasing me? Do you remember this?
What was the charity?
The charity was Kitty Kind.
I know, but that's a cat charity. The last thing the dogs want to know is that they're helping cats.
There was something almost cartoonish about Donald Trump back then. Remember? He was certainly no Emperor Karl of Austria, was he? You see, and the reason that we here at The Remnant endorsed him almost immediately was why? Was because obviously he was not one of them. He was not George Bush. He was not Mitt Romney or John McCain. He was not anything like that insufferable band of fools. You see? Posing as conservatives. Trump was something different. He really was an outsider. But he wasn't a daily communicant, was he? As far as traditional Catholics are concerned, he wasn't a Christ the King guy. And if you'll forgive my French, he was a pretty half-assed Christian, wasn't he, back then? So when the left tells you that you lost, remind them of that. Right? He's not the pinup boy for Christianity. What is he? What happened, you know? We, you, all of us, we had the insight to look past the problems, to understand the situation that we found ourselves in, to see civilization crumbling to the ground, to see God's hand in this, that God would raise somebody up when the good guys, the Christians, the Catholics had completely sold out, right? God was going to raise somebody up, you know? So we didn't demand perfection when it came to Donald Trump. We didn't demand perfection of this weak vessel that God now raised up in despite of the times that we live in. And you know what? We were right to do so. You were right. I was right. Think of that now. We were right. We did the right thing. Just look at what that Celebrity Apprentice guy, look what he did. Look what he did with 4 short years. What transformed him, friends? You know, he decided to stand with Christian America. I don't care how much of it was politics. Maybe it was all politics. On January 20th, 2017. Maybe it was all politics. But look what it became. He came to believe in it. Something transformed the man's heart and soul. He's no longer the goofball from Celebrity Apprentice, is he? And why is that? Because God provides. That's why. That's the way history is. If we've seen this again and again, and again through history. We cannot give up today, friends. Just because Donald Trump won't get a second term. Don't you see? There's more to this than the White House. The point is, Donald Trump got one term. Praise God for that. And you know what? That one term changed everything. Did you see? We didn't lose. We won. It should have been Hillary Clinton back then. It should be over by now. Instead, we have this massive coalition. We gained so much ground over the past 4 years that these fools calling the shots now on the other side of the aisle had to barricade themselves behind razor wire in D.C. Not because they're afraid of violence. They know there's going to be no violence. But because they're terrified of the political firepower we built in the last 4 years. We built that with the help of God, Donald Trump, the pro-life movement, and Christian America in 4 years. We never expected to see this from Donald Trump. So what's God going to raise up next? Let's wait and see. We don't need to open veins or jump off bridges, friends. If Donald Trump was the one who turned this whole thing around in 2016, what's next? What's going to happen in 2024? I don't know. Let's see what God does next. All we need to do is hang on, not give up, not despair. You see? The left, look at these clowns. They got the ball now. The field is wide open in front of them. Nobody there to stop. They just go out there and run down for the touchdown, you know? So why are they still talking about us? Why are they fixated on Trump? Why are they stringing razor wire all over the place? What are they so afraid of? I can tell you what they're so afraid of. In my opinion, what they're so afraid of is they don't have a game plan now. All they ever knew how to do was tear down, destroy, and hate. And what are they going to do now? They have no unity on that side of the aisle because they're from hell, and in hell there is no unity. And they have hellish tactics. They're hellish people. They do not know about charity. They do not know about love for God or neighbor. And that means something, or it should, to those of us who know something about theology, right? And tell me, what will CNN and MSNBC do with themselves now? Now that Trump has left the White House. Think about that for a second. What are they going to be doing? What are they going to talk about? Who are they going to blame now for everything that's going wrong in this country? Trump's gone. They won't have Trump to kick around anymore, will they? So what in the world will they do with themselves? He dominated those networks. Now what? You know, when they start defunding the police, for example, here in a few months or whenever, Do you think there's going to be anybody now that Donald Trump is not there to blame, you know, that we need to defund the police because he's a law and order guy? You think anyone's going to go along with this defunding of the police with this insanity under under Joe Biden? I don't think so, man. I do not think so. He does not inspire confidence in anybody. He does not have a fatherly approach to anything. He's terrifyingly self-absorbed. We're going to need some police around under this clown. Even when Biden decides he's going to mask us all up, because, again, he has no ideas. Well, I'll just double down on the mask thing. That'll make me look really important. Even when he does that, without the boogeyman Trump to scare us all into submission, do you think that's even going to work? What's going to happen to COVID now? Maybe it'll get much worse. I'm not trying to set myself up as a prophet. But I have a feeling without Donald Trump, this is going to be tricky for these people. They did everything they did out of terror, out of fear-mongering with respect to Donald Trump. Without that leverage, I'm not sure what they have. You know, I mean, did you ever think, for example, that we would see the little Catholic girl from the neighborhood going after the insufferable Mark Zuckerberg already? That's exactly what she did.
He is part of this problem, and Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook bear partial responsibility for Wednesday's events, period.
Carry on, Sandy. Well played. You know, this chick's probably going to need to think about going back to bartending if things go on like this much longer. I mean, she really must be one of the most hated people in Washington. You know, she can't, doesn't know how to play well with the others. But in other words, they're already out of ideas, and so they're starting in against each other. Trump and his coalition, in the meantime, is going to continue to dominate American politics. He's going to continue to dominate their every waking moment. You know, and that's thanks in large measure to us, to the 75 million, 80 million, however many it is. I think it's more than that. If you factor in children, you know, people that didn't vote, it's a lot of people, you know. Thanks to all of us who prayed that God would show us how to do this, would show us the big picture in all of this, not to get bogged down in partisan politics. We say, wow, there's something much bigger going on here. We need to make sure we choose the right side. And that's what happened. And to all of your friends and family, I know a lot of people have lost friends and family over COVID and over Trump and all of that. Here's the thing. Those poor people have been had, you know, because all this time, the friends, the family on the left, the coworkers, they've been hating now. They've been hating on a monster that doesn't actually exist. He's a computer-generated boogeyman. He's a social media creation. That's all Trump is. They don't know anything about the real Trump. They only know, you know, the Trump that's been created for them, just like the pandemic that was created for them, just like reality that's been created for them on TV. They don't know what the guy's all about. This is why when you ask them, hey, why do you guys hate Trump so much? All he's doing is lowering taxes and doing good things for unemployment and all that and defending law and order. Why do you hate him so much? When you ask them that, they don't have an answer, do they? They say things like, well, because he tweeted. I don't like a tweeting. He tweets. He's an idiot. He puts kids in cages, and he's ugly, and his mother dresses him funny, and they got nothing, friends. They really don't. They don't have anything but just nonsense. My favorite is that he puts kids in cages. This is the age of the internet. If Donald Trump is locking kids in cages, why isn't it on CNN, on TV every night? Why is it not? Why are we just hearing about that over the water cooler? He puts kids in cages. He's evil. You see, that's ridiculous. It's totally apocryphal. And the sheeple who watch CNN, they thought that it was true, just like they thought that if they voted for Biden, we're going to go back to the new normal, or back to the old normal, excuse me. The pandemic was going to end. Football was going to come back. The kids could go back to school. They actually thought that. They think it right now. Imagine the rude awakening they're in for. The poor slobs. They've been had. Because how exactly is this incompetent buffoon, who I wish all the best to, by the way, is his new presidential embarking on his new administration, and I wish him the best. But how is this buffoon, how is the Biden voter's life going to improve now that Trump is gone? I mean, serious question. How's it going to happen? How's it going to get better? You see, the thing is, it won't. Because the Biden voter is going to be wearing that mask until 2022. Biden has promised that. He'll be locked down. He'll lose his job. He'll be taking dictate. Biden's going to be dictated to from the United Nations, from folks in Europe, from Klaus Schwab, from Bill Gates. There's going to be no independent thinking on this guy's part. So we're going to be locked down. The guy who voted for him is going to lose his job. His kid's not going back to school. His professional sports are done, at least done the way they used to be. They're gone. That's gone now. And if you want proof of that, just look at Italy, look at France, look at the UK. You fools, look what's going on over there. They're shutting down the world right now. And Biden is just their stooge. Why? Because America stood in the way of the Great Reset, the shutdown of the world that was to precede the Great Reset. That's what this is all about. You've been had. So what exactly is going to improve for you guys? Nothing. Unless Donald Trump's coalition can stay united, stay focused, and continue to resist. That's your best hope, ironically enough. And a thing for us to recall in the middle of all this is that there are 100 million of us now, friends. And Biden and Harris are so far to the lunatical left that even many Democrats now are going to abandon that ship over the next couple of years. Mark my words. Nobody can be that committed to baby killing and sodomy and wretchedness and raising taxes. It is not going to be popular once they don't have Trump to unseat. Because hell... To quote Agatha Christie, I love this quote from Agatha Christie. I don't remember which one of her stories, but she says, "Hell is the truth learned too late." Love that. And that means the joke is on them because they're going to figure this out. We didn't lose one of ours today in Donald Trump. We stole one of theirs 4 years ago. You know, while the left was screaming about this and screaming about the hologram that, you know, is the thing that CNN created, and Mr. and Mrs. Progressive Left were watching CNN, we allied ourselves with an outsider, a genuine outsider, the real Trump. And that alliance now has moved mountains, friends, compared to what we were trying to do 4 or 5 years ago. He's changed everything. But he was not one of us. In fact, the Celebrity Apprentice guy should have been one of them, but they were too busy watching CNN to notice. You see, he's not a traditional Catholic. He's not a daily communicant, Donald Trump. You see? Do you remember him from 2016? Did Donald Trump look like Garcia Moreno to you when he was talking to Billy Bush on Access Hollywood in that famous tape? He didn't to me. See? So God took this broken vessel and transformed him into the left's wake-up screaming nightmare, friends. That's how God works. We haven't lost anything. In 4 years, Trump exposed not only the left, but they're water carriers. They're miserable water carriers in Rome and the Vatican, the infiltrators of the Catholic Church, the modernists that we traditional Catholics have been warring against for the past half century. Trump, the Manhattan businessman, reached across the ocean and tore the mask off of Pope Francis. Everybody can see exactly what that clown is, largely because of the Trump phenomenon. So Trump did his part now. You know, quite frankly, I think he deserves a little break. But he'll be back. But he did his part, and now it's time for us to do our part while thanking God that 80 million Americans, or whatever the number is, upwards towards 100 million Americans and a U.S. ex-president now had joined the Catholic counter-revolution. If you're not Catholic, then call it the Christian counter-revolution. The counter-revolution against globalism now. That's the firepower we now have because of the last 4 years. Whether everybody in the coalition realizes it or not. So chin up, friends. This is far from over. There's a reason Donald Trump came along. There's a reason God raised him up. There's a reason we all took a chance and trusted him and joined him, and it worked. There's a reason for all this, you know? And he's literally changed everything. There's a reason for that. Now we enter the next stage. Now is the time to return to the front lines, friends, and not just count on the White House and Donald Trump to go out there and do all our fighting for us. 10 years ago, we didn't have a Donald Trump. We had nothing, nothing but crazy neocons that were trying to blow up the whole world in the name of pro-life politics. It was a joke. That's what we had 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It's time for us to go back now. Go onto the battlefield and fight. It's going to be rough. Yes, it's going to be rough. Nothing worth fighting for is ever easy. You all know that. And we need to forge alliances that will continue to motivate now. America, get this, motivate what has become America's most powerful special interest lobby, the pro-life, anti-globalist, MAGA movement. Yes, I stand with the MAGA movement, no matter what happened in the Capitol on January 6th with the fool with the horns and all that nonsense theater that was nothing more than an effort to destroy the MAGA movement and destroy Donald Trump. We stand with the real MAGA movement, the 75 million voters who voted for Donald Trump, not the doofus in the Vikings' horns. And we have reason to be confident on so many levels. Look at Twitter. Twitter's stock right now is collapsing. The same with Facebook. So what are we terrified of these clowns for? You're terrified of social media giants who just shot themselves in the head by underestimating us? I'm not afraid of these guys. You don't have to be either. We're going to start something, in fact. In the next couple of months, we're going to launch Catacomb, it's going to be called. Social media. We're going to start our own. Everybody's starting their own thing now. The Remnant's going to start its own thing, too. So stay tuned for that. Forget Twitter and Facebook. We don't care anymore. We're done with those commie leftists, which is exactly what they are. And even they, I wonder how long they're going to want to turn their enterprise and their future over to this doddering old fool, either Soros or Joe Biden. We'll wait and see, much less Klaus Schwab, you know. We'll see what's going to happen. Nobody knows. And also, before I go, look at the alliances that have formed over the past 4 years. We never had alliances like this before, friends. Look at the voices out there sounding the alarm. Some of them are new, like the Epic Times. My gosh, they're doing great work. I don't know who these guys are. They're everywhere. They're doing fantastic work. Newsmax, been around for a long time, getting stronger and bigger all the time. OANN, doing great work. Our buddy Steve Bannon's War Room, right on, Steve. Keep going. The thing is awesome. Come on, friends. What are we so down for? You even got Remnant TV, which isn't doing too bad either, you know? There's a lot of things, and there's many more out there we could name. We're running short on time. Folks are waking up. It's not a figment of my imagination. It's happening all around you right now. I'm not even ready, by the way, to throw Fox News under the bus, despite our the egomaniacal, useful idiots like Chris Steigerwald and, oh my gosh, Chris Wallace. Oh my gosh, Chris Wallace is like single-handedly destroying Fox. He's got to get out of there. He just has to get out of there and go back to MSNBC where he belongs. But I would argue that whatever problems I have with Fox, and I got a lot, from the management to the ownership on down, Fox has never been too terribly conservative. But I would argue we need to be smart right now. We got this massive opportunity. Don't be dumb. Don't throw babies out with the bathwater. Not right now, okay? America under Biden-Harris is going to need the welcome, as far as I'm concerned, the welcome nightly broadcast, broadsides we might call them, coming from Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham. Laura Ingraham, my goodness, she's got Raymond Arroyo on there, a traditional Catholic, but more importantly, probably, she has led the charge against vaccines, led the charge against lockdowns and masks and everything else. What are we throwing her under the bus for just because Chris Wallace is a moron? I don't think we should do it, friends. I think it's really unwise, really unwise. And I love Newsmax and all the alternative people. They're great. But you're watching those on little clips on YouTube. We're talking about Fox. We're talking about every single night. Millions of Americans are being told the truth by some of these people who are still allowed to speak at Fox. We got to support them. Don't deplatform them. Guys like Ingraham and Arroyo and Mark Levin and Dan Bongino and Lou Dobbs doing great, great work. Sean Hannity, Jesse Waters. I'm not saying pattern your life off to the after these guys and follow them on everything they say or do. We disagree with these guys. But they're speaking the truth on a lot of levels, and more importantly, they're speaking against the common enemy every night. They're not just speaking against the Democrats, they're speaking against the globalists and Soros and the rest. Don't be so eager to cut these guys out at the knees when they're speaking to tens of millions of Americans every week on the television. Don't be silly. Don't be eager. I get it. Fox has got problems. But let's choose our enemies here a little bit. Let's wait a little bit. We're going to need that network. This coalition is going to. This is why CNN, of course, is calling for Fox to be shut down. Because there are guys like Jesse Waters, like Tucker Carlson, like Sean Hannity, like Laura Ingraham. Because things have changed now, friends. And too many people are waking up. If you had said boycott Fox back when they were all neocons and they were, you know, banging the drum and celebrating the invasion of Iraq, I was right with you. I couldn't stand Fox. I couldn't even look at Sean Hannity in those years. But since then, a lot of those guys, a lot of those people, including Laura Ingraham, have apologized for having anything to do with even the neocons. So things are looking up. You know, so you can hate on Fox all you want, but would you really feel better? Honest question for you. Would you really feel better if everything, after everything that just happened, Donald Trump lost the White House, looking dark, would you feel better if you woke up tomorrow to discover that this guy has been shut down, thrown in jail, and removed from the air?
If you wanted to stoke an irreparable civil conflict, you would talk this way and you would keep talking that way. You'd tell armed men under your command that they might have to shoot people who voted for the wrong candidate in the last election. You can see where this could all go. It's really scary. So where's the pushback from our defenders? Well, we didn't get any calls today from Republican senators begging to come on this show to talk about any of this or to push back against it. The Democratic Party is using the military of the United States, which they do not own, as a political weapon.
Friends, I'm going way too long, and I apologize, but we need to keep it together. We need to stay focused on the real enemy, the ones that hate Christ, that hate America, that hate you, that hate me, that hate our kids, that hate homeschooling. That's the real enemy, okay? And remember this, friends, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Don't forget, this is what separates us from the simple partisan hacks, the politicians, the wonks talking about Democrat versus Republican. Remember this. Saint Michael the Archangel is on your side, friends, as he has been all along. Don't cut the spiritual part of this out. This is a spiritual war. Saint Joan of Arc is on your side. Saint Louis the Ninth is on your side. The entire Church Triumphant, which includes the Vandeans, the Cristeros, the martyrs of the Colosseum, they're on our side. And here on earth, friends, 100 million patriots and the ex-president of the United States are now on our side. Does that sound like a recipe for defeat to you? Because to me, it looks an awful lot like the beginning of a war, finally. A war that the children of light can have every expectation to win in the end. So I hope you join me in this. I know, people are sad, they're depressed, but join me in saying thank you to Donald Trump. Mr. President, we're going to see you around. You're not going anywhere, and neither are we. God bless you for that. And to our new president, President Biden, Mr. President, we're praying for you. But remember this. Remember what the nuns told you 100 years ago when you were a kid. Remember what they told you about what happens to people like you when you die. People that don't defend babies being killed in their wombs. People who are destroying the family. People who are destroying and scandalizing children. People who deny dogmas and doctrines of the Catholic faith. Remember what the nuns said about folks like you, Joe? They said you're going to hell. Objectively speaking, according to what your church teaches, the church you claim to belong to, that's what the church teaches. You, sir, are going to hell. And for your own soul's sake, as well as the soul of the country, I beg you to repent before you face the wrath of Almighty God, because you're not getting any younger, Joe. I'm Michael Matt for MDTV. Keep your head up. We're going to win this thing in the end. We'll see you next week.